from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I saw something yesterday that really freaked me out. It's funny if it's Halloween. We talked about it with Ben Maller earlier. It's funny if it's only a one-time deal. But that five-star quarterback recruit in Nebraska yesterday that looked just like Patrick Mahomes, every inch of everything looked like Patrick Mahomes, from his demeanor to his mannerisms to his walk to his clapping to his jogging to his throwing. Again, I don't know if this was just one of those things where, like, he and Mahomes are kind of friendly buddies. I know Tyreek Hill tweeted about it, and then Mahomes went back to Tyreek Hill and goes, no, that's my cousin. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Little cringy, but also kind of funny if this is it. Like, if he goes throughout the entire season, again, wears number 15, has the same haircut, wore the same clothes, had the same sunglasses, everything was similar. If you missed it, it's all over Twitter, it all over is, Facebook, yeah. Instagram, wherever you want to watch it. It just seemed weird that there was what you consider.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Schefter even tweeted this thing out.
Yeah, it's just weird to think that there's like a, what do you say, a store brand Mahomes? Yeah, like that, a best that, choice?
Yeah. That was the headline on FanSided. Dylan Raiola shows up to Nebraska fall camp looking like store brand Patrick Mahomes. And it's like, he's bigger than Mahomes, obviously. And his, you know, his legs are huge. He looks like an offensive lineman. I think his dad was an offensive lineman at Nebraska back in the day, Dominic Raiola, or maybe that was his uncle. Either there's a connection there somehow. But this dude rolls into camp, and like, it would be funny if this was an eighth grader or some young kid. This is a grown adult now, and I don't want to hear he's a college kid and all that. No, he's a grown adult. You're 18. You're an adult. You probably need to find your own identity and stop walking around trying to be another adult. At that point in time, it becomes weird. Like, is he going to be in Mahomes' skin, you know, like moving forward? Like, I mean, it's weird. Like, if I'm Patrick Mahomes right now, I'm probably going to pay a little bit of attention to this, make sure that I got somebody on standby in case this guy's over top of me studying how I sleep.
Like, the mannerisms are the same, even on the field, the way he walks, the way he lifts his foot up when he throws, sidearm. I mean, he's got...
It's just weird.
It's a little weird.
It's weird.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's just weird. Again, if it's an eighth grader or an 8-year-old or a kid dressed for Halloween, he just wants to be Patrick Mahomes because he's a young kid. That's awesome. It's a grown adult going to college. Probably should find your own identity and not try to mimic and be Patrick Mahomes or try to like act like you're Patrick Mahomes. It's weird.
To me, what's weird about it is that I'd be okay if you had like the same haircut. It's like, oh yeah, it's funny. I'd be okay if he wore 15. He was like, yeah, I just, you know, I really love Patrick Mahomes. He's been inspirational in my life to show me that I can be in my own way and improvise and still be a good quarterback instead of being the typical step back, drop back, throw it. But man, dude, the way he dressed, the way he walked, the way he—I mean, imagine if they interviewed him after the thing and he sounded like Patrick.
Yeah,
Mahomes.
Imagine if he like started to use Patrick's voice or something
and
like that.
We have this problem in society, and I've been guilty of it, where like we see something that we like, and we don't try to do our own thing with it; we just mimic it. And sometimes you do that. Like sometimes you listen to podcasters and they use phrases or they say things. And then all of a sudden you see it come to, you know, your show and you're like, oh yeah, well, I'm just doing that because I think that's funny. I would never come in here dressed like Jim Rome, try to sound like Jim Rome and do the same bits as Jim Rome. Mm-hmm. That is equivalently the same thing that this guy did with Patrick Mahomes. Is like, okay, it's funny if you do like a Jim Rome impersonation. Like if you're just like, arugula.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, that's funny. Like whatever. Frank Caliendo did that. But it's like, it'd be different if you came in here and, you know, you were like, welcome to the jungle. It's like, this is not Fesco in the morning.
Right.
This is a Jim Rome show.
Right.
And I think that there's like a little bit of, I don't know, off-puttiness when it comes to this, because now you're going to do something to a fan base that literally probably can't afford this because Nebraska's been in the dumps for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And now what you've done is you've taken Mahomes and then you've now put him on your field and now fans are going to be like, dude, we might go undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
We might take this Big Ten by surprise. You see who we got at quarterback? And then he's going to go out there in week one and be like, oh, it's not Mahomes. No, it's not.
No.
But the red versus white game was fun. And I don't know. Just to me, to go that far, to take it that much further is scary, creepy, cringy, and noteworthy.
And also, too, you have to say, okay, this guy's supposed to be the quarterback of his team. He's supposed to be the leader. He's supposed to be the guy that the other teammates follow and believe in. If you're a supposed leader rolled into camp, like as a doppelganger for Patrick Mahomes, how do you buy into that guy as your starting quarterback and as your leader for the organization? Because I would look at him and go, this guy's a fraud. This guy is a total fraud. He doesn't have his own identity. He's trying to be somebody else. When you're the quarterback of a football team, especially a big-time program, right? Not that Nebraska really is anymore, but it's still Nebraska, right? It's still a Big Ten program.
Right.
When you're the big-time quarterback of one of the top 64 schools in college football, you can't be fake. You have to be you. You have to be genuine. Players find out and buy into that and realize that really, really fast. And if this guy's just trying to go out there and be Patrick Mahomes all the time, he's not going to have a lot of success, man. You got to be you. You can't try to be somebody else. I mean, it's like, you know, we talk about over the years, be Mike Moustakas. Like Mike Moustakas trying to be George Brett or Alex Gordon trying to be George Brett. Can't do that. You got to be who you are. And if you're not going to be true to yourself and be who you are and be your own person and be your own player and be your own quarterback, you're not going to have success. And look, Nebraska hasn't had success, as we've talked about, since Bud Ice was a thing, right? Mm. Like, it's been a long time since Nebraska's had any sort of success. And as a Nebraska fan, I would be very cringy and going, oh my God, come on, dude. Like, be your own guy.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought that was weird when people dress up, go all the way. Like, the fake Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Funny. But you know he's fake. Like,
but it's like every day of his life, he gets up and dresses like another human being.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't like register in your mind and be like, really? Like you don't have any days off? Like you're going Bill Belichick montage with the Andy Reid lookalike? Like I find that very odd that like you just want to wake up one day and you want to, you know, I don't know.
That guy's making some cash off the deal, though, too.
Which is fine. Yeah, which is fine. And somebody says, I believe that he and Patrick Mahomes have the same agent.
I think they do. I think he wants to train with him in the offseason as well. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Of course he does.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen. Some people say it's going to happen. I don't know.
That's going to blow my mind if there's ever a game and this kid's in the pros and it's like, this is like face-off?
No,
like,
it's weird.
Yeah, it's like.
It's weird.
What if they're on the same field at the same time?
Like, if I'm Patrick Mahomes and this guy wants to train with me, I'm going to say, well, you got to cut your hair and change your look, man. You can't be.
You got to do something.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Take those Oakleys off. Those are mine. Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm pretty sure he's, like, got Adidas on his. I don't know if Nebraska's an Adidas school, but I know he had Adidas on his practice jersey.
Yeah. I think they're Adidas, but yeah.
He's wearing 15 and all sorts of stuff. A lot of people agree with you today, Bob. It's a new day for you.
Hey, it really is, yeah.
Texting driving is 7 times more likely to be in an accident versus drunk driving. I agree with the Bulldog.
Yeah, I agree. It is. It's worse than drunk driving. It's much worse than drunk driving.
Yeah.
I will say imitation, highest form of flattery.
There is a limit, though.
There's a limit. Yeah. There's a limit. Yeah. Kobe Bryant didn't dress like Michael Jordan doing that, but if you watch them play basketball, it's the same.
How so?
I mean, he copied everything he did.
He wore the armband. He did the tongue out.
He did the mid-range step back, turn around. That was his shot.
Was Kobe doing that before he became great?
Mm.
Like when Kobe first came out of Lower Merion High School, in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Was Kobe doing it then, or did Kobe become great and then people started to kind of notice that he does some of the same? I'm asking because I don't know the answer to that question.
I think he probably did it before he was like great because he probably grew up his entire life watching Michael Jordan and mimicking those moves in the parking lot or at the park or in the gym and just like, okay, that step back fadeaway works because Michael Jordan's matched it. I need to match that myself.
But was he dressing like Michael Jordan?
No, he was dressing like the Black Mamba.
Yeah, like he wasn't like waking up in the morning and putting on his Michael Jordan costume to go to work.
I'm just saying it can be a successful strategy, but you're right. It can be taken a little.
You can take a little nit. Like we all as a kid, I tried to bat like Ken Griffey Jr.
Of course, you're a kid.
Right. Exactly.
No. You are a kid.
Exactly. I no longer kid when I talk about the Royals and the panic button because now we can use the panic button for something else. But the Royals are another thing around the corner when it comes to the next series and what it means moving forward with everything that is involved and a stat that might blow you away with the Kansas City Royals. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Back here on Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you. We'll get into what the panic button might be for some.
I didn't realize this was actually going on, and when Mac brought it to my attention yesterday, I'm not going to lie, I think it may be time to hit the panic button, but what do I know?
It could be, but I will say that it does involve one Drew Nixon, but one thing that was great to see yesterday is, well,
the 1-2. Pasquantino drills it high in the air, deep to right field. Sheets just watches it fly. Vinny Pasquantino launches a two-run homer. The Royals take an 8-3 lead in the top of the ninth inning.
No, I'm not here to tell you that was an impressive win. It was the Chicago White Sox. They beat them 12 times out of 13 this year.
Yeah.
Wash, rinse, repeat with Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Back-to-back sweeps of Chicago. And the thing that made me think,
other than stacking the wins, like what do you gain from that series? Right.
Yeah. Not a whole lot.
You beat a bad baseball team. One of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And you took care of business and you did what you had to do. And that's the sign of a good team. You didn't ever let the White Sox really think they had like much of a shot because you gave them an opportunity and they could never close the door on you. You took advantage of their mistakes. You had Bobby Witt hit a big home run, make some nice plays in the whole nine yards. Like you did what you were supposed to do in Chicago. If they would have lost at least one game up there, we'd be having a different conversation. But you took care of business, right? That's what you're supposed to do. You kept a losing team losing. Now do a 3 out of 4 in Detroit.
And the thing that kind of put perspective into my head about this team is that obviously it was the end of the month. It was July 31st yesterday. Today's August 1st. You start a 4-game series in Detroit. First game tonight, 5:40. Vern goes on the air at 4:30. Must be nice, Carrington. Mm-hmm. And this is more than just a quote-unquote good team. This is more than just you have an MVP candidate on your team. You have three guys in your lineup that hit second, third, and fourth that all have 70 RBIs. You know who else in the Major League Baseball organization has that?
Nobody.
Zero. You also, in my opinion, should have the front runner and the leader in the clubhouse for Manager of the Year in Matt Quatrero.
Mm-hmm.
This team won 56 games last year. This team has won 59 already this year. They're a playoff team. Not only that, but how many times, Bob, have we seen the Royals play a team like the White Sox and everybody around them wins and then the Royals lose? Or it's like the Cubs, right? You lose 2 out of 3 at home. You shouldn't have done that. You lose 2 out of 3 against Arizona at home. What happens? Minnesota wins 2 out of 3. Cleveland sweeps Philadelphia. And you're like, damn it. This is one of those series with games running out. This team, in my mind, is a great team. Not a good team. They're a great team, and they can be a playoff team, and they are a playoff team. 2 games above Boston, tied with Minnesota for the second spot in the wild card, tied with Minnesota second in the AL Central, 6 games behind Cleveland, 11 games over 500 on August 1st, and they've got a 4-game series against the Tigers where we both agree three out of four needs to happen because then the big bad Red Sox come to town for three, August 5th, 6th, and 7th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier. Like, I don't want to say it's easy, you know, against Detroit, because the minute you start thinking a team is easy, that's when the team beats you, right? So you've got to approach every game like you're playing a good team, you know, even the White Sox like they did for the last three, right? So you've got an opportunity against the Tigers now. Three out of four is the bare minimum of what you do. A split isn't good enough against Detroit. You got to go out there and take at least three out of four. I'd love them to go sweep Detroit and continue to stack all of these wins, because as the calendar now turns to August, we're now officially in that playoff push. And driving in this morning, I was thinking about like the Royals and the rest of baseball. Who is the most dominating team in baseball right now, right? I don't know that there's a clear-cut number one team. You bounce between the Phillies, you bounce between the Guardians, you bounce between the Orioles. Some people would say the Yankees, as they just swept the Phillies, are up there right now. Like, there's not a dominating team in Major League Baseball. There's not anybody running away with it. I don't know that there's a clear-cut favorite right now that you say that's a team that's going to go on and win the World Series. And I think that's great for the Royals, because there isn't that phenomenal team out there that's, you know, that's running away with everything, that doesn't give anybody else a chance. Not like in 98, you know, with the Yankees or the, remember the Seattle Mariners, I think in 01, when they won like 114 games or whatever. And obviously they didn't win the World Series that year, but you knew all year long who the best team in baseball was. At times we thought the Yankees were the best. At times we thought the Guardians were the best. At times we thought Baltimore was the best. At times we thought Philadelphia was the best. I'm sure there are times where people thought the Dodgers were the best team in Major League Baseball right now. So Major League Baseball, for a dirty little secret that's being kept, has more parity in it than the National Football League does. People just think in the NFL, everybody stands a chance because the NFL sells hope better than baseball does. But baseball is wide open. There are so many teams out there, and that's why I love the Royals' chances right now, because there's no team, in my opinion, that is clearly head and shoulders better than everybody else. And you only have to win a three-game series and then a seven-game series, and the Royals got a rotation that can go toe-to-toe with anybody, especially at the front part of that thing.
Right, and I think, you know, being 60 and 49, quick math, that means there's 53 games left in the season, 53 games left in the season. You play the Tigers tonight. It's Lugo versus Montero. Montero 1-4 with a 6.38 ERA. Seth Lugo, the obvious 12-5, 2.66 ERA. I think the other thing that's great about this is that you have every piece now that you need moving forward.
Right.
And somebody had texted in, would it be as sad if they missed the playoffs? Of course, but competitive baseball is what we wanted.
Oh, I think it's a disappointing season now if the Royals missed the playoffs.
We're past competitive. Yeah. They've proven it's August 1st,
We got to have expectations for these guys. It's in the playoffs, or the season is a disappointment this year. There's no question about it to me.
Yeah, and I think that the great thing about this is that there are great factors on all sort of aspects of this team now, because JJ Piccolo put his mind together with some other guys and went and got your bullpen, right? The guy they brought in yesterday in the eighth, nails. Throwing like 100 miles an hour, painting the black, perfect. Didn't have to use MacArthur for two games because he pitched back-to-back games. Whatever his role will be. Bubich, we didn't really see a whole lot of. And you have Hunter Harvey as well. You have three guys in your rotation. I think we're all comfortable to be like, here's the ball, go win game one. Right now, that guy's probably Brady Singer.
See, I'm still going with Seth Lugo.
And that's fine.
You know, for me at this point in time. Yeah. I mean, we haven't even talked about Cole Reagans. I mean, that's how crazy good this rotation is that you can make the case for Singer. I can make the case for Lugo. You know, you can make the case for Reagans if you want, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when was the last time you looked at a Royals rotation and said, man, they've got three guys that could legitimately start game one of the World Series for you and be there when you need them the most, like a nut cutting time. You got three guys that you can roll out there on that day to be your starting pitcher. The 14 and 15 team did not have that, right? You probably got to go back to the 80s, the last time the Royals could assemble three guys at the top of the rotation that you truly felt comfortable with starting a must-win game for you. And that's a great spot in which to be, man, because starting pitching is the currency of baseball. And if you can dominate with your starters, you're setting yourself up for an absolute easy chance to win a baseball game.
No doubt. And we'll talk more about tomorrow because it'll be Friday in the game. But tomorrow is going to be one of those playoff-style games because of the pitching matchup.
Yeah.
It's Scooble versus Cole Reagans on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about this team, you think about things that you see when new arrivals come to playoff baseball or become more of a story, and it's like,
well, why are the Royals great?
Mm-hmm.
Or why are the Royals making this sort of progress this year? Well, it starts with your GM. You know, for many, many months, it was, is he in the shadow of Dayton Moore? Completely escaped that. Then goes to your manager, your coach of the team, or your skipper in Matt Quatrero. Cool, calm, collected, mm-hmm. seems to have the trust of the players. We've had him on the show yesterday, seemed in good spirits, knew he was going to get a sweep, so that's probably why he was happy.
Yeah, it felt good, yeah.
Three guys in your lineup with 70 RBIs or more, and it just so happens to be your 2, 3, and 4 hitters. And the fact that you're 11 games over 500 on August 1st, you're 60-49, yeah, it'd be a disappointment if you didn't make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
And expectations are okay to change. It just depends on how high you leave those expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think right now for those who say, no, I mean, it's just been a good season. If they make the playoffs, it's not. No, it is a big deal. This team needs to get into the playoffs. This team needs to taste success. This team needs to understand what success is about. Because other than Salvador Perez, and I know Will Smith and some of these other guys that came in from outside, Salvador Perez is the only one who's ever had success in Major League Baseball in Kansas City that is on the roster right now. And for most of these guys, it's been 10 years since the Royals had success. You know, that's a lifetime for kids that are in their 20s that are playing Major League Baseball, right? They're looking at it and they're going, oh, basically for my entire lifetime, the Royals haven't been anything special. So this organization needs to get into the playoffs to experience that kind of success. I mean, it really does go back to what John said, you know, when he made the change from Dayton to JJ. I just want to experience what a wild card team is all about. And I think we're all there right now. We're experiencing what a wild card team was about. And you can't win the World Series until you get into the postseason. But I think for this organization right now, it is imperative that they get into the playoffs, because if they fail and they fall short, I think you're going to have a tough time going in the next season for a lot of fans going, see, they teased us and they couldn't get the job done. You get into the playoffs this year, you've got the fan base buying in, you've got the city buying in, everybody's excited, baseball's buying in, you become an attractive team for free agents. They want to come here to Kansas City because you have now winning and Bobby Witt Jr. So I think for a whole like shape of the franchise, it is imperative for this team to get into the postseason. And anything short is a failure this year now.
And to quote the great Bob Fesco, the Royals would definitely be considered up on the come. Panic button to move forward, which that's a saying that he came up with yesterday.
It is not.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the come. It's a very common saying.
Mac, you and I are kind of both on the same sort of, teeter-totter of what we're going to see out of Cincinnati. Is it panic button time, or is it just like, let's watch the preseason first, but the wrist of one blonde-haired Joe Burrow seems to be a little bit more of a question than maybe we're seeing.
I think our antenna should start to go up. I mean, this guy's a week 11 injury last year, has that wrist ligament tear against the Ravens. You're going, okay, well, by start of season, we'll be fine. Surgery, it'll all happen. He'll rehab. Well, OTAs happened. He was supposed to be ready to go by OTAs. He was supposed to throw there. They start to shut him down. They have him take days off. Apparently didn't look good. It's like, okay, it's OTAs. It's fine. They clear him for full contact. Well, that's all semantics, right? Aaron Rodgers was cleared for full contact last season. The guy's not going to play in preseason games, so we really don't care about that, right? I haven't seen Joe Burrow, and no one has. He hasn't thrown for 5 consecutive days since the injury, and they won't allow him to. This is supposed to be the healthiest you're supposed to be. In 30 days, you're supposed to be the healthiest you're supposed to be for the next 6-7 months. I just don't see this wrist injury being able to sustain a 20-21-week type season. He's never had a full or normal offseason or preseason. He's had, you know, his knee was torn up. His wrist was messed up. He had the calf injury last year. He started his career with a rib fracture and another wrist injury. He's just never had a full offseason. I'm starting to get seriously concerned about the Bengals. Their offensive line wasn't great last year. They didn't make a lot of improvements. And the guy has not thrown a football for 5 days straight. That's a serious concern to me.
Somebody showed yesterday, they predicted by, like, you know, going through the games 10,000 times on a computer, that the Bengals would be the number one seed in the AFC. And I saw that yesterday coupled with this Joe Burrow news. I'm like, you probably need a new computer because they had the Chiefs. They had the Chiefs fourth. The Chiefs were going to be the fourth seed in the AFC this year. There's no way the Chiefs are going to be the fourth seed. This is where stats and computers don't factor in human emotion. Okay. And the human side of things. If Joe Burrow can't throw a football, I don't know that the Cincinnati Bengals are the fourth team in the AFC North. You know, and I know there's only 4 teams in the AFC North, but if he can't throw the football, I don't want to hear about Browning Nagel, whoever played quarterback for them last year. I don't want to hear about any of that. That's your leader. That's your quarterback. If you are going to be successful in this league, you need a star quarterback. Joe Burrow is a star quarterback. But if he's hurt and he can't throw the football, then he's not a star quarterback. He's not even a quarterback. And so I think if you are a Bengals fan right now, you probably are a little concerned about what's going on there. 5 straight days.
Can't throw.
You can't throw the football and you're the quarterback in a passing league. That's not a good thing for Cincinnati, man. That's not a good thing.
And another tidbit with this injury, he didn't find any quarterbacks or any pitchers who have ever had this specific type of wrist injury. Only linebackers, D linemen, guys who don't have to rely on their wrist to throw. What happens when Chris Jones, week 2, bench presses him to the ground and embraces fall? It's that right wrist.
Well, pass interference.
And yeah, they'll throw a penalty flag on it.
Roughing the passer.
They could probably call it pass interference. True. Who knows what they're going to call, right? To protect the quarterback. But it doesn't
illegal
matter.
Contact.
If it's illegal contact or whatever it is, if he's already injured him, the penalty doesn't take away the pain on that. And that's going to be the thing, right? Like, I know we're not supposed to say it out loud, but, like, guys know when somebody has something wrong with them. They're going after that. Like, guys will go after Joe Burrow's wrist. They'll drive him into that ground to make sure of that. So
you remember when Mahomes' ankle was hurt? Seeing, like, a little bit of...
Yeah, right. No, exactly. Like, it happens.
Like that's sharks just, see blood.
Yeah, absolutely. That's human nature. So, man, like he, in my opinion, he's the only other quarterback in this league outside of Patrick Mahomes that scares me. Like, I'm not scared by Lamar. I'm not scared by Josh Allen. I'm not scared by C.J. Stroud. Joe Burrow scares the bejesus out of me because he has beaten Patrick Mahomes. And I don't know if Joe Burrow has any emotion flowing through his body, and that's the perfect way to approach that quarterback position. He's stealth, man, and he scares the hell out of me. But if he's hurt, man, that's a bad break for the NFL because the NFL wasn't as good last year with Joe Burrow not being part of it for most part of the season.
It's interesting how Joe Burrow gets paid but yet has been injury prone. But yet a guy who has played, still waiting to be paid,
maybe a little bit of disrespect. You guys all respect Lewis Riddick, I would assume.
Lou!
Who threw all those passes then? Who's that guy in jersey number four who was like the number one quarterback in QBR, completion percentage above expected, over expected this year? Who threw those passes? Was that not Dak?
Lewis.
It was him.
When you get
by
paid
many
six,
by many many objective measures, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say in the postseason he hasn't won. You're saying the postseason he hasn't gotten it done. Dak didn't play linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys against the Green Bay Packers, and I understand what you're talking about in terms of the clock management situation at the end of the game 2 years ago against San Fran down there in Arlington. I understand. There's a lot of factors that went into that. A lot of factors that aren't just it's Dak Prescott's fault. See, you know what's interesting with Dak? Dak, like I said this earlier today, Dak is kind of like Tua in the AFC. It doesn't matter what he does. We're sitting there going, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but with him. Tua, same way. Well, yeah, but he didn't do that. Yeah, but he didn't. But he didn't do that. The greatest team game in the world, and we constantly, with these two, hold them to responsible for every single thing. It's like Dak lost that game or Dak won that game. No, actually, it's more like this. Dak lost the game. When they win the game, the Cowboys won the game.
Lewis Riddick talking to Chris Russo about what the disrespect level is to Dak Prescott. I know we played the Jerry Jones clip, and he's talked about the leaf's going to fall, and the boss is worried on where that impersonation leads to. But is there disrespect towards Dak Prescott? Is he overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated?
I think he's perfectly rated, and what that yelling conversation told me is that we need to find a way to standardize how we judge quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no other way around it. Like, I understand what Lou's saying, and I get it. It's the ultimate team game. But we have gone so far in this league and the way we judge quarterbacks based on how many Super Bowl championships you have. And if that's going to be the bar for how we judge quarterbacks, great. But we can't have different arguments for every quarterback that fit the narrative that you're trying to push across right now.
Right.
The end of the day, it's about winning championships. Nobody remembers how many yards you pass for. Nobody remembers you getting, you know, beat in the wild card round. People remember championships. That's why they say flags fly forever. And I know people will say, well, a lot more happens in a game. Dak's not playing defense. But you know what? There are adults out there who are not letting Patrick Mahomes be the greatest of all time because he doesn't have the 7 rings yet. And so if we're going to continue to hold Patrick Mahomes up to not having 7 rings as to why he can't be the best, then I'm sorry, Lou, Dak Prescott is a heel because he hasn't won any. He's barely won a playoff game. He's done nothing down there remarkable. So you can't sit here and argue different things based on what narrative you're trying to push. If we're judging quarterbacks on Super Bowls, then let's judge them on Super Bowls. If we're judging quarterbacks on stats, then let's judge them on stats. We can't judge one quarterback on stats because he doesn't have Super Bowls, and another quarterback hold him back from being the greatest of all time because he doesn't have 7 Super Bowls yet. Like, it's just chasing your tail type of argument, which is like, what I guess wonderful for sports talk radio. But if we're not gonna judge everybody on the same thing and grade everybody on the same scale, then what are we doing here? Because as far as I'm concerned, if you're a quarterback in this league and a head coach, the end of the day, it's about how many championships you won. And if you didn't win any, you're not considered the best of all time.
Fair metric, you know. I just think that when you do that, when you don't have a quarterback that can actually play at a high level, which I think Dak has done, finished, what, 4th in MVP voting last year?
I thought it was 2nd. It might be 4th.
You might be right. Then your franchise really plummets. Look at Carolina. Look at Washington. Look at teams like that. You can go 10 years without being a successful franchise. And all you really need, like most sports, is you need a chance to get in the playoffs. Dak has yet to deliver that. I understand those antics. But also, you have more problems, I think, in Dallas than your quarterback. You have an owner who's delirious, and you have an owner that's long past the times of football. And you need, in my opinion, a new voice and a new face that runs that organization.
But they've needed that for 20
a while.
Years.
And that's why they have not been good for 20 years.
Exactly.
Or successful.
30 years.
I'd say
really,
successful.
I mean, it's 30 years. They've done nothing, and they haven't won a Super Bowl in 30 years in Dallas. Okay?
There's a reason why my buddy Mike, who's a Dallas Cowboys fan, diehard, wants to join
the Kansas City Chiefs. I told him every year, I'm like, I'm going to give you the opportunity. This is your last year. You can jump ship. No, I can't. And his family, all big Chiefs and Mahomes fans.
Yikes, that hurts.
It's tough. Speaking of something real quick before we go to break, the NFL apparently is going to test Sony Hawk Eye technology for measuring first downs during some, not all, some preseason games. The NFL is believed to be moving closer to replacing the traditional sticks and chain method for measuring the line to gain. The electronic system could be fully implemented next season, though it could potentially happen even sooner. We are going to get lasers eventually for first down since we are so far behind on technology.
Well, let me just say
We've got tablets on the sideline, yeah. Bob. We need lasers as first down markers.
What if that technology goes out like it did for the airlines?
Well, then you still have the sticks.
You still going to have the chain gang out there? You got to have the chain gang out there. I love the chain gang.
I told
those
you
guys are awesome.
I told you the restaurant industry, when the systems go down for the credit cards, they bring out the whole the whole slide guide.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they have those.
They have the
you
backup.
You don't hardly ever need them. But if there's that one chance where like the laser doesn't work, all right, Bill, get your stick out here and let's go measure this first down. You still have the availability. You keep them on the sideline.
You still have to keep them out there because they use that on offense. Run to the sticks. Get past the sticks. If you got rid of the chain gang, nobody's going to know where the first down marker is.
I mean, Mahomes always seems to know where it's at.
Because it's there. But what if they take them away? Now you're playing blinded.
Well, that's all the flap on the side of the field.
That's not enough. You got to have the guy out there that's holding the stick. That's part of football.
That is
the best part of football. Those guys out there, you know how long they've been doing those jobs? Like, I don't even know that they get paid to do those jobs.
But
they
also
just get to stand there and watch the game.
The Chiefs would have had a first down in the Super Bowl last year if they had lasers as first down markers. Pacheco definitely got a first down.
Maybe.
But since the guy with the stick couldn't go out there instead of like moving, they couldn't tell what
was
first down.
What if the laser goes down? What if the laser's not right? What if the laser's measuring wrong? What if the ball's spotted? It's still, I like the chain gang. Everything's technology this, technology that. Give me the chain gang, guys.
Give me lasers.
Yeah, I want lasers.
I want
sharks
the chain
with freaking
gang.
Laser beams attached to their heads.
We have sea bass. Muted sea bass.
Those poor guys, man, they worked their ass off holding those chains.
Yeah, well, factories went to robots, and those guys aren't there anymore, and the NFL is going to go to lasers. And
do you think at the end of games that the teams tip the chain gang guys?
I don't know, but they tip the vending machine guy.
The vending machine guy here's got a tip jar he put out. Not kidding.
He's already made more money than I'm going to make so far in my other job. Brought to you by Rainer Garage. Is this show called Fesco in the Morning? The garage doors of Kansas City Liftmaster has patented IQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Do you think you could come up with five words to describe your state or five words that fit your state? I bet you can. 913-586-7610. Missouri or Kansas. Five words that are known in your state that always get used. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Lycan, 610 Sports Radio.
Ah, little Stevie Nicks. Yeah.
In South Park, she was a goat.
I saw her and Billy Joel last year. Maybe one of the hottest events I've ever attended in my entire life. Oh, my God. It was brutal.
Whew.
I saw so many people just dropping like flies at that thing. Do you know the hottest event you've ever been to? Because for me, it was Andy Reid's first NFL game. And at the time, I didn't know it was in Dallas. And I just moved to Texas. And they're like, let's go to the Dallas Cowboy game. You can ride the bus with us. I said, okay, cool. So I rode up to Dallas from San Antonio about 4 hours, and it was the pickle juice game, and the Eagles beat the Cowboys. That hot, and I remember walking around Texas Stadium. Remember, it was almost like a dome with just like the eye on the top because it was God's team. They said at the time, God was watching the Cowboys. That's why there was a hole in the roof of the stadium, right? I remember walking around the stadium that day of September of 99. And I remember seeing people tailgating in their air conditioning cars. And I just moved down from Lawrence. I'm like, this is weak. Kansas City would never be like this. Right. And then you get into the stadium and it's so hot and the heat can't escape. It's like a heat dome in there. And people were just passed out in the concourses all over the place. And that's kind of how that Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks concert was last year. We have vowed ourselves, I'm not going to a concert at Arrowhead in August again.
I did the similar, but not the same concert. I did Kenny Chesney like probably 10 years ago in August. Holy
so you never
hell.
Need to see him again because it's the same show.
Yeah, I'll never. Like people have asked, like, do you want a Kenny ticket? I'm like, no. But we went in August, man, and it was like you could feel the heat coming off of my sandals.
Right.
I was like, I understand it's a country concert. Probably going to do a lot of walking. I'm not wearing boots. I'm not wearing shoes. I'm wearing flip-flop shorts and a white T-shirt. And it was miserable.
Oh, God,
I mean, melting when you got out of the car.
You also, people forget when you go to the games, maybe people don't always forget, but you get to the game and, or you get to the event, you're on asphalt,
too. Mm, hell like, yeah.
Everybody's congregated underneath the tent because that's the only place the shade is. Well, unfortunately, the earth isn't flat right. And the sun moves, and all of a sudden you start seeing people like shift to the other
side.
It's
great. When you're tailgating outside for a while, like you're moving the umbrella
and then,
around.
I'm not even kidding. It got to the point where like me and my buddy and his girlfriend at the time and a couple others, we just took like three beers each and walked over to like the east side of the stadium where it was shaded. And it was like, okay, we can just stand here and wait to go into the concert. And then it finally got to the point where it's like, all right, our seat's in the shade. Let's just go in. I don't care if it's Old Dominion, whoever's playing. I'm going in. I'm sitting in shade, and I'm drinking like three waters.
Yeah, it's like brutal. Being hot. I don't know what's worse, going to like the Dolphins game, which I did not do. God love you if you did. Or go into something that is excruciatingly hot. Like, I think hot is too. I think that
you'd rather
cold,
be hot than cold.
I think I'd rather, at an event, I'd rather be cold than hot, because if you're cold, you run into the men's room, you can warm up a little bit. There's no escaping the heat, man.
So you would have rather gone to the Chiefs-Dolphins game than go to a concert in 115 heat index?
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah. And I'm not saying I'd like to go to either of them, but like that heat, man, like both aren't great, obviously. Right. But like I said, you can dress properly. Like you only can take off so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's fair.
Right?
That's fair.
So let us know the hottest event, the 2007 PGA Championship in Tulsa in August. That just sounds miserable. 120 heat index and no breeze. Yeah, that sounds like hell, man.
We teased at the break, if you had five words to describe your state, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Massachusetts on Merriam-Webster, their Twitter handle, the dictionary, they said the five words for Massachusetts would be wicked, cape, bubbler, baked beans, rotary.
All good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the second and the third?
The second was cape.
Yep.
And the third was bubbler.
Cape like
Cape Cod.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Wicked's hilarious.
Yeah, Wicked's great.
Wicked's great.
Yeah, yeah.
My boy's Wicked Smart.
Yeah.
I'll try to find the text that I sent you guys of the five I think that best describe Missouri.
Yeah.
Which I think that was one of them. One of them was fire. I hear a lot of kids and like my other job, not kids, like young adults, and they'll say like, "Oh, it's fire." I don't know. I'm sure that's a national thing, but I feel like I hear it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
Y'all. Ozarks. Warsh.
Warsh. Warsh is a great St. Louis word, man.
Like, you got a wash cloth? I'm gonna go wash my clothes. You hear Ozarks all the time. You see posts on Facebook and whatever, Instagram, like Ozark weekend. So I feel like that's kind of the same as Cobb.
Yeah.
Or Cape.
Yeah.
And then y'all, you hear that a lot. Y'all ready to order? Y'all coming out for the party night? Whatever. And then
y'all has gotten very popular. Like it used to be just strictly for Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And now like I think everybody's using y'all.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother used to say use all the time.
Yeah.
What are yous doing?
Yeah, use.
Oh, the two
yeats? Yeah. What are yous doing? Yeah. Use.
What do you think Kansas is?
Well, I came up with five for Kansas that I thought. Yeah, since I live on that side of the state line. I got the number one is Starbonds. Number two, the Legends. Number three, Flat. Number four, Flint Hills, and number five, Yawn. Because once you get past Lawrence, there is nothing until you hit Denver International Airport. It's a yawn. Like, I saw a thing, and I'm sure you guys saw this on X, formerly Twitter, yesterday, day before, whatever it was, the worst drive between two cities in America, and it was Kansas City to Denver. and if you made that drive, you know there is literally nothing out there, but like maybe a church every once in a while and a gas station and then a yawn, and you want to sleep the entire time you're making that drive. So those are my five for Kansas. Starbonds, the Legends, Flat, Flint Hills, and Yawn.
Right.
So you guys can weigh in. Yeah.
Yeah. 913-586-7610. What five words best describe your state?
Yeah.
I see. That's hilarious. Warsh is definitely up there.
Warsh is up there, man. That's a good one. That is a real good one.
The A16 took the words out of my mouth. Don't forget ope when you bump into someone. Ope.
Nope.
Let me just squeeze right by you.
Yep. Yep. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Oop. Oop.
Woof. I like using that a lot, but woof. A lot of people do like woof. Like, Buzz, your girlfriend, woof.
From Home Alone. Right, yeah.
Or like if I say something in a text group that someone's already said, you know, Cody Tapp will do that every once in a while in the air.
Yeah.
He'll say something and he'll say the same thing, woof.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cody Tapp and Alex Gold, love those guys. They're up in St. Joe today in that heat. Woof. Yeah. So they'll be in St. Joe today. We'll let you know if they have any sort of interview of a special player today. Mm-hmm. We'll find that out a little bit later, but the Chiefs do continue to go through camp, and we continue to go through this show as well. Mac, you want to go really quick on the 20 through 11 top NFL 100, or do we want to go and save that for another time?
Let's save it.
Save it. Okay. Coming back on the other side, we get back into the Royals and what's important moving forward, because it's not a lot of games left, but they took care of business. They got to keep taking care of business if they want to keep doing this and wash BTO. The competition out of here. Oh, we got to go to break. Mac Murray, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, you're listening to 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.